and our goal. See, Jesus is our example of how to deal with both ego and shame. Can you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? Nelson, there's a slide for Philippians 2, 6 through 8. If you can't get to it, that's fine. It's all good. God's still working through technology problems, and I just kept preaching, so. All right. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5. I'll read 2, 8. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. All right, you're going to have to click the slide for me. All right, I'll read off my computer. Who, being in very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage, your Bible might say, something to exploit. Rather, he made himself nothing. In Greek, this word is kenosis. It's a self-emptying, not a self-puffing up, but a self-emptying. Being in the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. As I reflect on this, God could have made himself a beautiful, gorgeous being, but he chose to make himself human. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is how Jesus is our example. He teaches us how to deal with our puffed up selves. Think about it. If the creator of the universe, right, the one that deserves all the honor and glory, was willing to empty himself to the point of humility, become human and obedient to the Father, even to death on a cross, how much more do we need to follow an example when we get puffed up in our ego? And I'm preaching to myself, there might as well be a mirror in front of me. Because I can get so puffed up in my ego. Think, oh, I'm the smartest one in my seminary class. I get the highest grades. Joe, you're learning about Jesus. He didn't care about grades, he cared about people. So in many ways, this passage addresses how we deal with the self that says, I'm better than another person. But what do we do about that voice of shame that's in our head that says, you're not good enough. You'll never make it. You're really not worth anything. You're trash. I want to take a moment to pause on the difference between shame and conviction, because sometimes we struggle with the two. According to Mr. Webster and his dictionary, shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. In turn, it's a loss of self-respect or esteem. But conviction, I didn't use Webster for this, I used the Bible. But conviction is when God's Spirit illuminates something wrong either inside of you or outside of you, through prayer, through the Bible, or through someone saying, hey, Jess, I noticed this. Tell me more. Help me understand what's going on here. I see this and it seems like it's not good for you. Conviction is never so you can feel lesser about yourself, but to be and do better. See, shame tells us that we're not good enough, that we have lows, that we aren't valuable, that will never get better. But conviction leads us to Christ. It leads us to do and be better. And we're so sensitive to shame that sometimes we disregard conviction. But we need the Spirit to help us. Because conviction is what leads to true healing, true repentance and growth. Shame only leads to a lesser view of self, self-inflicted wounds, denial, insecurity, arrogance, and spiritual stagnancy. Yet by God's grace, Jesus sets us free from shame. Amen? Jesus dealt with shame on the cross. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says that Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. And in the context, the writer's talking about the shame that he would have endured on the cross, because on the cross he was hanging half naked for the whole world to see, labeled as a criminal. That is shameful in that culture. But I think what Jesus also did was he dealt with the power of shame on the cross. Because when we look at that symbol of the cross, we don't see shame anymore. Right? We see freedom and salvation. So not only did Jesus dismantle the shame of the cross, he dismantled the shame in us by destroying shame and redeeming us. So in Christ, we have an example of dealing with our ego when we get real puffed up and thinking, oh, I'm better than Fred, or I'm better than Pat. But it also deals with the other side. It says, Joe, you'll never be good enough. Why do you even try? You're not a good enough preacher. You're not a good enough cashier. You're not a good enough student. In Christ, we have an example of how to deal with both of those. But in Christ, we also have our identity. The Bible tells us about this. I could stand up here and share verses with you, one after another. But I want us to read straight from the Bible for this. So everyone, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And when you get there, someone read it out loud for us. So Psalm 139, if you don't know where Psalms is, open your Bible to the middle. You'll either get to Psalms or Isaiah. Kind of go backward or forward from there. So Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Could someone read that? Amen. Thank you, Brian. Now turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And someone read it out loud for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. We are God's handiwork. Yeah, other translations say, we are God's masterpiece. Do you believe that about yourselves, church?
Yes.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and someone read that out loud for us. We should get back to Bible quizzing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Thank you, Tim. Just to clarify, 1 Peter, is that in the Old Testament? No, it's in the New Testament. So when he says, you are a nation, is he talking to the Middle East, specifically Israel? Who's he talking to? The church, the body of Christ. That's us. So we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, chosen to declare the goodness of God. Last one. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. Can someone read that out loud for us, please?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Amen. We are a new creation. So Jesus gives us this identity. And there are dozens and dozens of Bible verses we can read about our identity in Christ. But Jesus, he's also our target. Look at what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 say. You don't have to turn in your Bibles if you don't want to. Isaac, can you click to that verse? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. There's another piece of our identity, dearly loved. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we think about what this means to live the life of following Christ, we talk about it too often as avoiding sin, not doing certain things, following certain rules. But the Bible, it defines sin, or the word chataa, as missing the mark, right? Its most basic use is referring to archers that would miss their target. So if the Christian life is following Jesus, who then is the target, church? Who's our goal to aim for?
Christ.
Jesus. Thus, I think part of understanding ourselves is a journey inward. A journey towards the core of our deeper self. A journey towards Jesus. Amen? Where we can look in ourselves and say we are loved. We are beautiful. And we have purpose. And that journey starts by looking in. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for the work of Dr. Betty Priest in helping us understand ourselves so that we can reflect and think about how wonderful and fearfully made we are and how beautiful and beloved we are. Father, I pray that if anyone here today is struggling with self-worth, that you would deeply invade their hearts and remind them of their precious nature, that you have called them your own precious, wonderful masterpiece. And I pray that if anyone here is struggling with being puffed up in arrogance, thinking they're better than each other, remind us that we need each other deeply. That the foot can't say to the head, I don't need you. That the finger can't say, oh, I'm really not worth much, I'm just a small little part. Remind us that we are uniquely one in you, and yet diverse. And we thank you, praise you for that diversity. So Father, give us the courage to make our target your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team back up.